Welcome to Executive Peaks, Tracy.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
So do you have a morning ritual?
I would say, yeah, mine isn't coffee or tea. Funnily enough, my morning ritual seems to be, in practice, sitting up in bed, checking my phone for the time. And then I kind of end up easing into my day by sort of, I don't know if this is healthy or not, but checking into all my socials, see what happened in my email. But then the bad part is I start answering it, and then I'm all of a sudden right into my workday. So I'm trying to be more mindful and becoming and giving myself more a little bit more of time in the morning. But normally my ritual time seems to be at night when I'm shut down for the day.
What is the best constructive guidance you've received in your career?
I would say pricing, actually. Learn how to price in terms of respecting your own value and not always pricing based on what you think somebody else's budget might be, which I came from advocacy and activism and that kind of thing. I didn't come from, how can I find a business and build the maximum dollar value? So for a lot of times, almost up to a fault, I would underprice myself until I really, my business consultant really took me in hand and said, you kind of need to start acting like the head of a company that's there to make money for its employees, and for your family. And then your advocacy work and donations and everything is a separate thing. So that was actually a hard lesson for me because I come from advocacy and people are the bottom line. And I want to keep that as the case, not just, money being the bottom line. So that's a balance for me to learn.
What is the best constructive guidance you've given to someone?
It sounds like what you hear everywhere, but I really, really, truly believe every success in life honestly starts with, seriously understanding and believing that you deserve a seat at the table and then you can do it. And if somebody else has accomplished something, you can do it too. And if you can conceive of something, you can do it too. And that we really, truly do limit ourselves way more than anybody else or any circumstance limits us. Even those of us who are, who are not privileged and those of us who are living with, difficult challenges, it's amazing how much changes when our mindset changes. So truly making people understand and believe that. Sometimes by seeing my example of just having gone full speed ahead, beyond things I should have been able to accomplish just because I didn't let anybody stop me. And I think that's a really important thing, because if people internalize that, they can literally do most things that they can conceive of.
What is the life mantra you live by?
Never, never give up is one that I learned from a man named Jimmy Dennis, who literally, he's an R&B artist now, good friend of mine, who I met 20 years ago when he was literally on death row. He was an innocent man on death row. And for 20 years, we helped lead his campaign to let the world know about that. Finally, in 2017, he was released when the courts and the world finally understood that he was innocent too. And so his mantra was always never, never give up. And having watched his example for 25 years, I've clearly taken that to heart. And then an addendum to that, even when he's depressed or when we're, everybody, I'd like to leave everybody with this one now, is we didn't get this far to only get this far. And that's whether you're successful and still have goals, to get even, beyond what you've done to push yourself further, or if things are really hard for you right now and, you've been dealing with a lot and you feel overwhelmed, just remember you didn't get this far to only get this far. You have to keep on going, and that's and success or happiness or some really awesome stuff is on the other side. And, you don't want to give up now when you've already gotten through all of this to get there.
What is the one sport you excel at or wish you could excel at?
Well, in grade 7, I was good at floor hockey, but since then I have not been very athletic. But I would say I wish I could, now that I'm 51 now and I'm starting to try to think about, exercise like I should have been over the last 20 years, I think running would be really neat. I'm starting with, a brisk walk and trying to do some cardio and everything. But I think if I could get into where a regular run, a brisk run wasn't, like for a mile or two or whatever, was actually healthy and fun instead of me going, that would be great. So that's maybe a good goal. Good question. That's a good goal.
Tracy, do you have any hidden talents?
Hidden talents. It's hard to say on that one because I'm so stupid, annoyingly public about everything all over social media. You see my whole life. But hidden talents. Well, I can read really fast. Like I've always been a reader. I don't know if it's a hidden talent, and I guess it's, no one talks about it. But and funnily enough, you know what I read as a reader? I was just gonna say I read everything cover to cover, and I read Psychology Today a couple of years ago, and they said that actually one of the great way to stay balanced in terms of like a mental health kind of coping skill of all the stresses in life is reading. Who knew? But it makes sense because think about it. You know, you're all upset, you're all stressed out, then you pick up a book and you start reading. And it's more than just watching the screen. You're actually doing something in your brain. So a page or two in, all of a sudden you're not really so emotionally engaged with where you were a second ago. Now you're involved with that world that you're in. So it's kind of, it makes sense. It actually brings your heart rate down, it brings your, so I think, and you've never seen me ever without a book. If you see me, say, show me your book in your magazine. I'll be able to pull out a book in a magazine, always, no matter where you see me. And like, I would actually get stressed out if I don't have a second one. If I'm close to reading, close to ending the book, I'll have to start a second one. So reading everything cover to cover and gathering all the knowledge from like all kinds of random places, and I guess applying it, it could be a secret super skill.
Thank you for sharing. What is the biggest misconception about you?
That this is all easy or that I've always been outgoing. I seem to remember myself being shy, and I remember having to coach myself to, you know, don't be afraid, go in the room, it's okay, everybody feels nervous, get in there and just start talking, and that display of confidence will actually make other people feel more confident because everybody's waiting for somebody to like direct them, and everybody's, you know, has that nervousness sometimes. So a lot of people think that just comes naturally, and if you don't have it, you know, but no, that's actually something you can self-talk yourself into and to understand, like most things are. So, you know, that's probably a pretty big misconception that I had no insecurities or that like it was always easy to run into a room and to do all this. So you just have to push yourself a little bit sometimes, and then you'll be surprised what you can accomplish.
What is the most courageous thing you've done in the past year?
In the last year, oh gosh, I've been mostly sitting in my basement, in my house. I don't know, I guess courageous, moving forward and pivoting, I don't know if it's courageous, I mean, it's maybe a strong word, but I guess in terms of my business and stuff, like a year ago, you know, a little bit more than a year ago, last March, whenever all of us were just in panic and the whole world seemed to have tipped on its axis and all of our customers were, you know, everything was crazy all of a sudden with the beginning of COVID, and I lost about 80% of my business because a lot of it was events-based or, you know, concerts, public speaking. I was supposed to be on a reality TV show that we were going to be traveling on the West Coast. So all of a sudden, you know, for about a week or 2 weeks, I'm just staring at the TV like everyone else. And I had to, I hate, you know, the word of the year, pivot. But really, in my mind, I had to think, okay, you know, if I've lost 80% of my business, that means I still have 20%. So instead of sitting here and whining and crying and being worried, which was easy to do, like it wasn't, lost 80% of my business in income all of a sudden, just thought, okay, no, go back to my desk because I have 80% gone, I still have 20%. So go and do that 20% really, really well. Don't panic, see what develops, and then manage to do so well that, you know, my business did better than it had any other year, and we ended up incorporating, and now I'm in a whole new kind of scary, maybe that's the part, incorporating, because now that's a whole different level, you know, from being a freelancer to being a solopreneur to actually incorporating now, and just that whole different structure has been a leap that took me a few years to get to. People were telling me I needed to, but I was like, oh, maybe later. And so this year we took that leap. So most people wouldn't think that was a big thing, but to me that was an interesting jump. So maybe that.
If you could redo any life experiences, Tracy, which one would it be?
I think I would start a business much earlier. I didn't think about that till I was 41, or even I started freelancing at 41 and developed into a business. And it wasn't up until then I was doing just, you know, originally entry level sales and then middle sales, but stuff I had no passion for and didn't care about because I thought that, you know, you weren't supposed to care about anything. Your day job was just what you did to make money. And then in the evening, I did all my activist stuff and I did all the stuff that I've since has developed into a career. So I think that I wish I'd thought much earlier on what I counsel people now, which is look at the things that you love or the things that you care about or the things that fire you up and see if there's anything there or skills or talents that you've developed in what you've been doing in there and that you could actually build a career around that you don't hate, where you are passionate about what you do every day.
When the heart and mind don't agree, what do you do?
Oh, that's a hard one. I guess I would say it's something I would always, I think at the end I would go with the heart, because if it really doesn't feel right, then maybe there's something my mind isn't processing. You know, like, I like to think I'm strategic, and I would think about all angles and see, you know, am I feeling something I shouldn't be feeling? You know, try to isolate, you know, see what's going on there a little bit deeper. But ultimately, if something doesn't feel right, then go with that.
What is your favorite comfort food?
Oh, my goodness. Right now, I just finished a really delicious lentil soup that my daughter gave me. But I'm trying to go off of beef, but if we're talking, like, traditional, I would say things like, you know, shepherd's pie, stuff like that, you know, your ground beef and mashed potatoes and vegetable on the side, but that's kind of the kind of eating I'm trying to get away from.
Please finish the following sentence. Love is?
Caring.
If you only had $10,000, what would you spend it on?
Probably half on my daughter's coming baby. We got the first grandchild coming, so setting them up so that they have everything that the baby needs, as a young parents, you know, so they won't be stressed about anything like that, you know, when you're already stressed and figuring out a new baby. So that, and then from there, my husband would jump in and say, Bitcoin, but I don't know. So I would say something with my grandbaby, you know, a month of mortgage, and then a little time to figure out what's coming next. But I should say that Bill Gates said if he only had $100 left, he'd spend it on PR, and I'm a publicist, and that's a great quote. So
that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
If you could teach a five-year-old one virtue, what would it be?
One virtue. To take action for other people. Get outside of yourself, because actually that's actually something you can do for yourself too, because people that are depressed, or, you know, it's easy to get sit there and spin things in your head and feel bad about this and that and reiterate everything in your head that ever went wrong in your life. But if you get out of that and go do something for somebody else, there's a little secret. It actually feels pretty good. And, you know, that's why people keep doing it. And you feel better about yourself and about your circumstance. And it just feels good helping people. So do that, teach that, you know, internalize that, so that kids, that should be your coping mechanism when things are bad. Go see what you can do to help someone else, and you'll feel better about yourself too.
Tracy, what is the last thing you do before calling it a day?
I like to go and have, and this could be 2 in the morning, could be 4 in the morning, could be 11, because I have clients across time zones, so I'm at, you know, really the strange hours sometimes. But whenever I finally shut down the computer, and the house is usually quiet by then, and everybody's usually asleep, I go up and I have a bath as hot as I can handle it with a nice, some of my friends and clients make some nice bath bombs. There's a company called Natalie Attire. She's a friend of mine, and she gives me beautiful bath bombs, like with rose petals in them. And seriously, that when you say, what's your, like, ritual, that's the only ritual I really think of. It's like, when I shut the door, the computer's off, I'm in the bath, so I'm not checking my phone finally, right? And I make it as hot as I can handle, and the, you know, beautiful bath bomb with the rose petals. And then it's just, okay. And then I'm settled, and I go lie down and I sleep, and that's the end of the day. It's my only real no client thinking time.
And are there any initiatives to support?
Yeah, I'm working on a lot of different things right now. I have one thing that's vital right now, actually, it's only, you know, I don't know when the thing is going to be played, but there's a primary right now for the district attorney's office in Philadelphia. And normally I wouldn't be involved with something like that, but Jimmy Dennis, who I learned to write a press release, the guy I mentioned, who was 25 years on death row, he's working on that, encouraging this guy, because it's under this guy's, he's been in for 3 years and he's released 20 innocent people, and he's really doing what people, you know, what it's, we don't see people in that position do, which is really trying to uncover corruption and fix the problems of 30 years in that office. And so, yeah, we've been doing some work getting the word out on how all the innocent people that have been released across the country are supporting that race. It's a microcosm of what's going on in America. But also just in general things, like I have a client named Bolu, and she's an amazing 13-year-old. She wrote, literally a 13-year-old girl, wrote a song called Make It Right about all the injustices of the world last year. And I just heard it, and I said, we have to get that out to media, friends. And everybody exploded. And now she's been on literally everything from Australia to Vegas to Toronto. And she's, you know, putting an actual album together now. And that's more a cause. I mean, she's a great artist, but we got engaged, with her work because of her messaging and the powerful little strong voice. And then I have, clients that work in diversity work. I have all kinds of stuff, really. And, still do some, I was active in medical cannabis legalization up here in Canada. We're now legal recreationally coast to coast, but working back 10 years ago, I was active in messaging mostly, for patients and actual doctors and care providers and that kind of thing, kind of getting the message out of it. So basically, I'm interested in helping people get their message out, get through the media noise. And, if they're entrepreneurs with passion, then I help, entrepreneurs doing good things with passion, them too. I also help them build their reputation for thought leadership and their brand. But it all started with, passionate advocate messaging, basically, is how we learned to navigate the media. And we're still very heart-centered, and that's how we'll always be, that will always be the priority.
As you've been very kind in sharing your initiatives, in the present day, what do you do and where can people find you?
So now I'm an international award-winning publicist working across borders and across industries, which means anybody from creatives to small business owners to corporate to entertainment projects, anybody can reach out to me about how to get in media, get interviewed, all across everywhere. And they can find me at lamourimedia.com or on, and that's LAMOURIE media.com. Facebook, Tracy Lamouri. Instagram, Tracy Lamouri PR Media. LinkedIn is a great place to find me, Tracy Lamouri. And if anybody tells me that they heard me here, I'm happy to do a free half hour or so consult with them where they can really understand, what they could expect in working with a publicist and answer all their questions and all that fun stuff with no obligation, of course.
And Tracy, thank you for joining me on ExecuP.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you for providing this platform for all of us to listen to and learn from in general. I really appreciate it.